God is warning us this morning. Listen, authentic Christians are determined to what? Have a clean heart.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's mini-series of messages stipulating from God's Word those character qualities and priorities that will empower and authenticate the Christian message in today's confused and chaotic world that is looking for authenticity. We believe the time is short. The time is now for God's people to make a difference in the hearts and lives of unbelievers. So we invite you to listen now as Pastor Grant brings the conclusion of his message, What Authentic Christianity Looks Like, Part 2.
Instead of acknowledging the Lordship of Jesus, the religious leaders, get this, had spent 2 or 3 days, because back then they didn't have Teslas to drive them from Jerusalem to where Jesus was. They had spent 2 or 3 days on the road, and they'd come here to quarrel with Jesus about why his disciples were eating without washing their hands. Now, there's more going on here than when you parents fuss with your children about washing their hands before dinner, okay? For hand washing was a ritual Jewish leaders had devised. It was all about power. For the Jewish leaders had introduced several hundred laws that were not given by God and were insisting that every Jew live by them. You get it? The Jewish leaders had introduced all these laws that God did not give. And now they were telling everybody, you'd better live by these laws. But the disciples had now made the living God. And so instead of following the religious rituals, they were now following the teachings of Jesus, not the teachings of these Jewish leaders who had strayed from God's word. So let's pick up at verse 3. Jesus answered and said to them in verse 3, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. That's God's command. And that he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have had, have received from me, it's a gift from God. Then once I say that, then I need not honor my father or my mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, Jesus said. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Sadly, even today, some people are so captivated, stay with me now, by religious rituals, they often neglect the importance of a personal relationship with God. So here's the big question I want to ask you. Even if you are religious, are you sure you're born again? Can you recall a time in your life where you acknowledged that you were a sinner and that only Jesus could save you? And have you come to him and asked him to cleanse you of your sin and to save you and to help you to live for him? Have you gotten to that point in your life? You see, it's not about being religious. It's about having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not sure you have started on that road, you need to do it now. These Jewish leaders were emphasizing religious tradition. But write this down. Authentic Christians must always elevate the word of God over human opinion and religious tradition, regardless of any teacher's theological credentials. Oh, I want to add that part for sure. Because of any teacher's theological credentials. You know, young people, those of you who are at college are going to be going to college soon. You're going to occasionally run into people who like to tell you all of their credentials. And because their credentials, sometimes as a young person, you'll be influenced to follow them. But listen carefully. Do not. Authentic Christians must always elevate the Word of God over human opinion. So no matter what that science teacher tells you, do not allow him, do not change your mind. Whatever God says is settled already. It's settled in heaven. Sadly, not much has changed. For the world is full of religious leaders who are still devaluing the work of God and the Word of God. So anytime you hear a preacher saying the Bible contains the Word of God, but that it is not the Word of God, don't walk away from that church. Run! Because that's one of the growing heresies of our time. That the Bible is not the Word of God. It contains the Word of God, which means there are parts of it that are the Word of God and there are parts that are not. You may not recognize the huge difference. It sounds so accurate that many are sitting under that nonsensical teaching. Because once you sit under that teaching, I can tell you anything that's not in the Word of God, but make it to be the Word of God. Nobody's opinion beside the Word of God. And so I want to encourage you. The Word of God is full of leaders, as I tell you, but you stay the course. Authentic Christians elevate the Word of God over human opinion. But here's the fifth thing I want you to write down. Authentic Christians are determined to have a clean heart. Authentic Christians are determined to have a clean heart. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. I'm going to read from verse 10 to 20. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man. It's not what goes in, but it's what comes out of the mouth." Amen? Then his disciples came to him and said, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard you say that?" Okay? Do you know the Pharisees were offended by that? Because you are actually challenging them. They're telling you all this, what all this stuff you must make sure you don't put in your mouth. And you're saying, it's not what goes in, but what comes out of your mouth. Verse 13, but he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted." Leave them alone. Leave the Pharisees alone, that is. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." So Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth into the stomach is eliminated?" Does everybody grasp that? Is that a little too deep? Anything that goes in comes out. Am I right about that? Here is what the key is. But those things which proceed out of the mouth, what comes out of your mouth is coming from the heart. And that's what defiles a man. Let me pause here and say something that I not in my message. Be very careful what comes out of your mouth. Too often, never forget, as a young man, I remember going to visit the workplace of one of the men I knew to have been a strong Christian. When I went to his workplace, I heard so much four-letter words. I heard so much cussing. He didn't see me coming. But man, the cussing was, I couldn't believe it. He was worse than any sailor I'd ever met. Do you have a dirty mouth? You know, back in my day, if kids who had dirty mouth, their mom would take you into the bathroom. Anybody had ever happened to you? What they did? Soap it up and Can I tell you that the soap don't work? It's only the blood of Jesus can clean you up. Amen. Only the blood of Jesus. So just pray for that young fellow. Pray for that young son. Share the gospel with him, because only the blood can clean that dirty mouth. For out of the mouth, the heart, the Bible says, proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Let me give you then six of the things which Jesus said cause us to have a defiled heart. Very quickly. And listen, those of you who want to eat vegan food, it's okay. I mean, you know, I'm not telling you what to eat. You know, I tried it. I did it in Florida. The place had no meat, no dairy. Even the ice cream was not dairy. And but after an hour, I was hungry. So I decided if I'm going to live a vegan life, I'll have to be eating every hour and a half. That's going to get too expensive. So I'm just going back to the old way, if you don't mind. But you go right ahead, because you may not have as big a problem. Okay? Write down these six things which Jesus said cause us to have a defiled heart. One, evil thoughts. Any evil thought, including ways to get revenge, will defile our hearts. You know, sometimes we're good Christians, but there's something in us that is seeking to get revenge. Somebody hurt you. Have you started to notice the incredible cost of this type of thing today? Somebody just cut you off in traffic. Can you realize that God was right when he said how dangerous this is? The man cuts you off, you have this evil thought, and then the next thing you pull out a gun, boom, 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 boom. Any evil thought defiles us. Murder. 1 John 3:15, but you said I didn't stab the person. But here's what 1 John 3:15 says. I think I have it in the notes. Jesus said, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Do you hate your brother? Do you have issues? Settle it. Sadly, sometimes even in the church, do you know that there are people who have problems with each other? If she come down that aisle, I'm going down that other one. Settle it. Settle it. Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, illicit sexual relations by a married person. But in Matthew 5:28, Jesus shows this is a much bigger thing than we may think. Because in that chapter, Matthew 5:28, he says, whosoever looks at a woman to lust after her commits adultery in his heart. Fornicating. Fornication. The Greek word is porneia, P-O-R-N-E-I-A-I. And pornography, that porneia is the Greek word where we got the word pornography from. And as we all know, there is an explosion of porneia in today's world. A lot of it is thanks to the internet. And it is very timely that God has raised this subject for today, because young people and older ones, be very careful. Just because you have your little phone and all that nastiness pops up on the phone, sometimes you're not even seeking for it, sometimes you are. And just because you say you're doing it in the privacy of your own home, don't believe that God is not aware of what we are doing. Amen. May God help us. Because God is warning us this morning. Listen, authentic Christians are determined to what? Have a clean heart. This is important. Authentic Christians are determined to have a clean heart. And one of the things which is messing us up is this issue of porneia. Because it is gone. It is, what is the word I should use? It is gone. It's so widespread now. It is, what is the word? Viral. Yes, thank you. Viral. It's good to use that word viral. The fact that it's viral should warn us. It's like a virus. Instead of saying it has gone viral for us, we better say the new virus. And sadly, it's infecting so many of us as believers. May God help us to be careful. And then the other thing he says, false witness, which has to do with lying, and then slanders. So saying something false or malicious to damage someone's reputation. It's interesting, but many of these things are also included in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. I want us to look quickly at that verse before I seek to bring this message to get to the final point. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you don't mind, just turn here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. And here's what it says, verses 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And brothers and sisters, and apostle says, and such were some of you. Please don't miss that. Sometimes because we know these things are so common, we say it's okay. But the apostle Paul is saying here, and such what were? What is the tense? Such were, what is the tense of were? The word were is what? Is in the past tense. Yes, it has happened in our life. But today, my brother and sister, let's make a decision that beginning today, these things are in the past tense. Amen. Beginning today, it's in the past tense so that we can say, and such were some of us. But hallelujah, because I have been washed, I've been sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of my God that's in my past. Amen. God, may God help us. Well, here's the sixth and final thing I want to bring to your attention. I could say a whole lot more, but here's what we're going to say. Authentic Christians place trusting faith in the omnipotent God. This is a very interesting verses that we want to pay attention to. Matthew's Gospel chapter 15, verse 21. Then when Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan, this is a Gentile woman from Canaan, so this is Jesus' first foray into Gentile territory. Behold, a woman of Canaan came from the region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she's crying out after us. This Gentile woman is crying out after us. Send her away. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus answers this lady. Don't miss this. And Jesus tells her, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So you may be saying, wow, is Jesus saying he had only come for the Jews? I want to deal with this very briefly because sometimes many of us don't realize that. Since she was a Gentile from Canaan, the Jews regarded her as undeserving of God's blessing. That may be in your notes. The Jews regarded her as undeserving of God's blessing. As a result, in verse 23, the disciples wanted Jesus to shoo her away. And Jesus said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus was not only testing her faith, he was also stating, stay with me now, that his first priority was the redemption of the Jewish people. For as Galatians 4 states, are you with me? If you're with me, say amen. For as Galatians 4 states, we often don't talk about this, Christ was born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. Who is that speaking about? Christ. Christ was born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, and those under the law referred to the Jewish people. That's also why in Matthew's Gospel chapter 10 verse 5, as Jesus was sending out the 12 disciples, sometimes we miss this part. Here's what he told the disciples: do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Did you notice that before? Don't miss this. Central to the ministry of Jesus was the redemption of who? Of the Jews. So let's make sure. My brother and sister, there is a growing anti-Israel movement going on in the Christian church. May those of us from the former Germantown Christian Assembly, now the Grace Christian Assembly, may all of us who are members of this church make sure we do not join the anti-Israel movement. Because Jesus, our Savior, his primary focus when he arrived on earth was the redemption of the Jews. But this Gentile woman was not dissuaded by the Lord's focus on Israel. So look at verse 25. The Gentile came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And Jesus says to her, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. That's tough. Some of you must read, oh, Jesus, why would you say? Jesus is testing her. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered to her, oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. And so you said, Pastor, what in the world just went on? Why did all this big change? This woman was a Canaanite, a sworn enemy of Israel. But this Canaanite woman realized that Jesus was not only merciful, but that he was so powerful that figuratively just a crumb from his table would solve her problem and heal her daughter. Are you getting it? She's recognizing that this Jesus is so powerful. All she needs is a crumb that falls from his table. So in verse 27, she stood humbly before the Lord. Oh, might we humble ourselves before the Lord. Part of the problem with some of us is that we are so proud. But this woman was willing to humble herself before the Lord. And as she likened herself to a little dog before the master, she said, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She humbled herself, acknowledged Jesus as Lord. Did you see that? Lord. And received his grace and his undeserved favor. And Jesus said, how great is your faith. Let it be done as you desire. And her daughter was healed that very hour. Jesus is still saving and healing those who are willing to place their faith and hope in him. Individuals who are willing to humble themselves. Don't miss that. Central to this woman receiving her blessing was a willing to humble herself. Lord, even a little dog can be satisfied from the crumbs from the rich man's table. Lord, just a drop of blessing from you is all I need. My friend, I don't know who you are, your circumstance, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus is willing to save anyone who is willing to humble themselves and repent of their sin and turn to him for salvation. Perhaps you're not sure you're saved, or perhaps you're not walking with the Lord the way you ought to. I'm going to ask you right now to make a decision. that I will be an authentic Christian. Listen, you may be saved already, but it's been sort of shaky. Make a decision, a new commitment. Lord, I'm going to be authentic. I'm going to live for you 100%. And if you're not sure you're saved, come to Jesus right now.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.